16. Swordmaster. Nimble form has a delicate touch, gave the gods this form to many. Though once defied, by the gods they were crushed. This form craves precision and plenty. From the Listener Song of Listing, 27th stanza. You know, Moash said from Kaladin's side, I always thought this place would be...
Bigger?
Drahi offered in his lightly accented voice. Better, Moash said, looking around the practice grounds. It looks just like where dark-eyed soldiers practice. These sparring grounds were reserved for Dalinar's light eyes. In the center, the large open courtyard was filled with a thick layer of sand. A raised wooden walkway ran around the perimeter, stretching between the sand and the narrow surrounding building, which was just one room deep. That narrow building wrapped around the courtyard except at the front, which had a wall with an archway for the entrance, and had a wide roof that extended, giving shade to the wooden walkway. Light-eyed officers stood chatting in the shade or watching men sparring in the sunlight of the yard, and Ardens moved this way and that, delivering weapons or drinks. It was a common layout for training grounds. Kaladin had been in several buildings like this, mostly back when he'd first been training in Amaram's army. Kaladin set his jaw, resting his fingers on the archway leading into the training grounds. It had been 7 days since Amaram's arrival in the war camps, 7 days of dealing with the fact that Amaram and Dalinar were friends. He'd decided to be storming happy about Amaram's arrival. After all, it meant that Kaladin would be able to find a chance to finally stick a spear in that man. No, he thought, entering the training grounds. Not a spear. A knife. I want to be up close to him, face to face, so I can watch him panic as he dies. I want to feel that knife going in. Kaladin waved to his men and entered through the archway, forcing himself to focus on his surroundings instead of Amaram. That archway was good stone, quarried nearby, built into a structure with the traditional eastward reinforcement. Judging by the modest creme deposits, these walls hadn't been here long. It was another sign that Dalinar was starting to think of the war camps as permanent. He was taking down simple temporary buildings and replacing them with sturdy structures. I don't know what you expected, Dre said to Moash as he inspected the grounds. How would you make sparring grounds different for the Light Eyes? Use diamond dust instead of sand? Ouch, Kaladin said. I don't know how, Moash said. It's just that they make such a big deal of it. No dark eyes on the special sparring grounds. I don't see what makes them special. That's because you don't think like Light Eyes, Kaladin said. This place is special for one simple reason. Why is that? Moash asked. Because we're not here, Kaladin said, leading the way in. Not normally, at least. He had with him Drahi and Moash, along with 5 other men, a mix of Bridge Four members and a few survivors of the old Cobalt Guard. Dalinar had assigned those to Kaladin, and to Kaladin's surprise and pleasure, they had accepted him as their leader without a word of complaint. To a man, he'd been impressed with them. The old guard had deserved its reputation. A few, all dark-eyed, had started eating with Bridge Four. They'd asked for Bridge Four patches, and Kaladin had gotten them some, but ordered them to put their Cobalt Guard patches on the other shoulder and continue to wear them as a mark of pride. Spear in hand, Kaladin led his team toward a group of Ardens who bustled in their direction. The Ardens wore Vorin religious garb, loose trousers and tunics tied at the waist with simple robes, pauper's clothing. They were slaves, and then they also weren't. Kaladin had never given much thought to them. His mother would probably lament how little Kaladin cared for religious observance. The way Kaladin figured it, the Almighty didn't show much concern for him, so why care back?
This is the Light Eyes training ground, said the lead Arden sternly.
She was a willowy woman, though you weren't supposed to think of Ardens as male or female. She had her head shaven, like all Ardens. Her male companions wore square beards with clean upper lips.
"Captain Kaladin, Bridge 4," Kaladin said, scanning the practice grounds and shouldering his spear. It would be very easy for an accident to happen here during sparring. He'd have to watch for that. "Here to guard the Kolin boys while they practice today."
"Captain?"
one of the Ardents scoffed.
"You—"
Another Ardent silenced him by whispering something. News about Kaladin had traveled quickly through camp, but Ardents could be an isolated lot sometimes.
"Drey," Kaladin said, pointing. "See those rock buds growing up on the top of the wall there?"
"Yep."
"They're cultivated. That means there's a way up."
"Of course there is," the lead Ardent said. "The stairwell is at the northwestern corner. I have the key."
"Good. You can let him in," Kaladin said. "Drey, keep an eye on things from up there."
"On it,"
Drey said, trotting in the direction of the stairwell.
"And what kinds of danger do you expect them to be in here?"
the Ardent said, folding her arms.
"I see lots of weapons," Kaladin said. "Lots of people moving in and out, and... are those shard blades I see? I wonder what could possibly go wrong."
He gave her a pointed look. The woman sighed, then handed her key to an assistant who jogged off after Drahi. Kaladin pointed to positions for his other men to watch from. They moved off, leaving only him and Moash. The lean man had turned immediately at the mention of shard blades and now watched them hungrily. A pair of light-eyed men bearing them had moved out into the center of the sands. One blade was long and thin, with a large crossguard, while the other was wide and enormous, with wicked spikes, slightly flame-like, jutting out of both sides along the lower third. Both weapons had a protective strip on the edges, like a partial sheath.
"Huh,"
Moash said.
"I don't recognize either of those men. I thought I knew all the shard-bearers in camp."
"Those aren't shard-bearers," the Ardent said. "They're using the king's blades."
"Elokar lets people use his shard blade?" Kaladin asked.
"It is a grand tradition," the Ardent said, seeming annoyed that she had to explain. "The High Princes used to do it in their own princedoms before the reunification, and now it is the king's obligation and honor. Men may use the king's blade and plate to practice. The light eyes of our armies must be trained with shards for the good of all. Blade and plate are difficult to master, and if a shard-bearer falls in battle, it is important that others be capable of their immediate use."
That made sense, Kaladin supposed, though he found it hard to imagine any light eyes letting someone else touch his blade.
"The king has two shard blades?"
"One is that of his father, kept for the tradition of training shard-bearers."
The Ardent glanced at the sparring men.
"Alethkar has always had the finest shard-bearers in the world. This tradition is part of it. The king has hinted that some day he might bestow his father's blade upon a worthy warrior."
Kaladin nodded in appreciation.
"Not bad," he said. "I'll bet that a lot of men come to practice with them, each hoping to prove he's the most skilled and most deserving. A good way for Elokar to trick a bunch of men into training."
The Ardent huffed and walked away. Kaladin watched the shard blades flash in the air. The men using them barely knew what they were doing. The real shard bearers he'd seen, the real shard bearers he'd fought, hadn't lurched about swinging the oversized swords like pole arms. Even Adolin's duel the other day had...
"Storms, Kaladin,"
Moash said, watching the Ardent stalk away.
"And you were telling me to be respectful?"
"Hmm?"
"You didn't use an honorific for the king,"
Moash said.
"Then you implied that the Light Eyes coming to practice were lazy and needed to be tricked into it. I thought we were supposed to avoid antagonizing the Light Eyes."
Kaladin looked away from the shard bearers. Distracted, he'd spoken thoughtlessly.
"You're right," he said. "Thanks for the reminder."
Moash nodded.
"I want you by the gate," Kaladin said, pointing.
A group of parshmen came in, bearing boxes, probably foodstuffs.
"Those wouldn't be dangerous, would they?"
"Pay particularly close attention to servants, sword runners, or anyone else seemingly innocuous who approaches High Prince Dalinar's sons. A knife to the side from someone like that would be one of the best ways to pull off an assassination.
Fine. But tell me something, Cal. Who is this Amaram fellow?
Kaladin turned sharply toward Moash.
I see how you look at him, Moash said. I see how your face gets when the other bridgemen mention him. What did he do to you?
I was in his army, Kaladin said. The last place I fought before.
Moash gestured to Kaladin's forehead.
That's his work, then?
Yeah.
So he's not the hero people say he is, Moash said. He seemed pleased by that fact.
His soul is as dark as any I've ever known.
Moash took Kaladin by the arm.
We are going to get back at them somehow. Sadeus, Amaram, the ones who have done these things to us.
Angerspren boiled up around him like pools of blood in the sand. Kaladin met Moash's eyes, then nodded.
Good enough for me, Moash said,
shouldering his spear and jogging off toward the position Kaladin had indicated, the Spren vanishing.
He's another who needs to learn to smile more, Syl whispered.
Kaladin hadn't noticed her flitting nearby, and now she settled down on his shoulder. Kaladin turned to walk around the perimeter of the practice grounds, noting each entrance. Perhaps he was being overly cautious. He just liked doing jobs well, and it had been a lifetime since he'd had a job other than saving Bridge 4. Sometimes, though, it seemed like his job was impossible to do well. During the high storm last week, someone had again sneaked into Dalinar's rooms, scrolling a second number on the wall. Counting it down, it pointed at the same date a little over a month away. The High Prince didn't seem worried, and wanted the event kept quiet. Storms, was he writing the glyphs himself while he had fits? Or was it some kind of spren? Kaladin was sure nobody could have gotten past him this time to get in.
Do you want to talk about the thing that is bothering you? Syl asked from her perch.
I'm worried about what's happening during the high storms with Dalinar, Kaladin said. Those numbers. Something is wrong. You still seeing those spren about?
Red lightning? She asked. I think so. They're hard to spot. You haven't seen them?
Kaladin shook his head, hefting his spear and walking over onto the walkway around the sands. Here, he peeked into a storage room. Wooden practice swords, some the size of shard blades, and sparring leathers lined the wall.
Is that all that's bothering you?
Syl asked. What else would be?
Amaram and Dalinar.
It's not a big deal. Dalinar Kolin is friends with one of the worst murderers I've ever met.
So? Dalinar is light-eyed. He's probably friends with a lot of murderers.
Kaladin, Syl said.
Amaram's worse than Sadeus, you know, Kaladin said, walking around the storage room, checking for doorways.
Everyone knows that Sadeus is a rat. He's straight with you. You're a bridgeman, he told me, and I'm going to use you up until you die.
Amaram, though? He promised to be more. A bright lord like those in the stories. He told me he'd protect Tien. He feigned honor. That's worse than any depth Sadeus could ever reach.
Dalinar's not like Amaram, Syl said. You know he's not.
People say the same things about him that they did of Amaram. That they still do of Amaram.
Kaladin stepped back out into the sunlight and continued his circuit of the grounds, passing dueling light eyes who kicked up sand as they grunted, sweated, and clacked wooden swords against one another. Each pair was attended by a half-dozen dark-eyed servants carrying towels and canteens, and many had a parchment or two bring them chairs to sit on when they rested.
Stormfather! Even in something routine like this, the light eyes had to be pampered.
Syl zipped out into the air in front of Kaladin, coming down like a storm. Literally, like a storm. She stopped in the air right in front of him, a cloud boiling from beneath her feet, flashing with lightning.
You can honestly say, she demanded, that you think Dalinar Kolin is only pretending to be honorable?
Don't you lie to me, Kaladin, she said, stepping forward, pointing.
Diminutive though she was, in that moment she seemed as vast as a high storm.
No lies. Ever.
He took a deep breath.
No,
he finally said.
No.
Dalinar gave up his blade for us. He's a good man. I accept that. Amram has him fooled. He had me fooled too, so I suppose I can't blame Colin too much.
Syl nodded curtly, the cloud dissipating.
You should talk to him about Amram,
she said, walking in the air beside Kaladin's head as he continued scouting the structure. Her steps were small, and she should have fallen behind, but she didn't.
And what would I say? Kaladin asked. Should I go to him and accuse a Light Eyes of the Third Dawn of murdering his own troops? Of stealing my shard blade? I'll sound like either a fool or a madman. But...
He won't listen, Syl, Kaladin said. Dalinar Colin might be a good man, but he won't let me speak ill of a powerful Light Eyes. It's the way of the world, and that is truth.
He continued his inspection, wanting to know what was in the rooms where people could watch people spar. Some were for storage, others for bathing and resting. Several of those were locked, with Light Eyes inside recovering from their daily sparring. Light Eyes liked baths. The backside of the structure, opposite the entrance gate, held the living quarters for the Ardens. Kaladin had never seen so many shaved heads and robed bodies scurrying about. Back in Hearthstone, the city lord had kept only a few wizened old Ardens for tutoring his son. Those had also come down to the town periodically to burn prayers and elevate Darkeye's callings. These Ardens didn't seem to be the same type. They had the physiques of warriors and would often step in to practice with Light Eyes who needed a sparring partner. Some of the Ardens had Dark Eyes, but still used the sword. They weren't considered Light-Eyed or Dark-Eyed. They were just Ardens.
And what do I do if one of them decides to try killing the princelings?
Storms, but he hated some aspects of bodyguard duty. If nothing happened, then you were never sure if it was because nothing was wrong, or because you had deterred potential assassins. Adolin and his brother finally arrived, both fully armored in their shard plate, helms under their arms. They were accompanied by Scar and a handful of former members of the Cobalt Guard. Those saluted Kaladin as he walked up and gestured that they were dismissed. The shift officially changed. Scar would be off to join Teft and the group protecting Dalinar and Navani.
The area is as secure as I can make it without disrupting training, Bright Lord,
Kaladin said, walking up to Adolin.
My men and I will keep an eye out while you spar, but don't hesitate to give a holler if something seems amiss.
Adolin grunted, surveying the place, barely paying Kaladin any heed. He was a tall man, his black alethi hairs overwhelmed by quite a bit of golden blonde. His father didn't have that. Adolin's mother had been from Rira, perhaps?
Kaladin turned to walk toward the northern side of the courtyard, where he'd have a different view from Moash.
"Bridgman," Adolin called. "You've decided to start using proper titles for people? Didn't you call my father Sir?"
"He's in my chain of command," Kaladin said, turning back. The simple answer seemed the best.
"And I'm not?" Adolin asked, frowning.
"No."
"And if I give you an order?"
"I'll comply with any reasonable requests, Bright Lord. But if you wish for someone to fetch you tea between bouts, you'll have to send someone else. There should be plenty here willing to lick your heels."
Adolin stepped up to him. Though the deep blue shard plate added only a few inches to his height, he seemed to tower because of it. Perhaps that line about licking heels had been brash. Adolin represented something, though. The privilege of the Light Eyes. He wasn't like Amaram or Sadius who brought out Kaladin's hatred. Men like Adolin just annoyed him, reminding him that in this world some sipped wine and wore fancy clothing, while others were made slaves almost on a whim.
"I owe you my life," Adolin growled, as if it hurt to say the words. "That's the only reason I haven't yet thrown you through a window."
He reached up with a gauntleted finger and tapped at Kaladin's chest.
"But my patience with you won't extend as far as my father's, little bridge man. There's something off about you, something I can't put my finger on. I'm watching you."
Remember your place.
Great. I'll keep you alive, Bright Lord, Kaladin said, pushing aside the finger. That's my place.
I can keep myself alive, Adolin said, turning away and tromping across the sand with a clink of plate.
Your job is to watch over my brother.
Kaladin was more than happy to let him leave.
Spoiled child, he muttered.
Kaladin supposed that Adolin was a few years older than him. Just recently, Kaladin had realized that he'd passed his 20th birthday while a bridge man, and never known it. Adolin was in his early 20s, but being a child had little to do with age.
Renarin still stood awkwardly near the front gate, wearing Dalinar's former shard plate, carrying his newly won shard blade. Adolin's quick duel from yesterday was the talk of the war camps, and it would take Renarin 5 days to fully bond his blade before he could dismiss it. The young man's shard plate was the color of dark steel, unpainted. That was how Dalinar had preferred it. By giving his plate away, Dalinar suggested that he felt he needed to win his next victories as a politician. It was a laudable move. You couldn't always have men following you because they feared you could beat them up, or even because you were the best soldier among them. You needed more, far more, to be a true leader. Yet Kaladin did wish Dalinar had kept the plate. Anything that helped the man stay alive would have been a boon for Bridge Four. Kaladin leaned back against a column, folding his arms, spear in the crook of his arm, watching the area for trouble and inspecting everyone that got too close to the princelings. Adolin walked over and grabbed his brother by the shoulder, towing him across the courtyard. Various people sparring in the square stopped and bowed, if not in uniform, or saluted the princelings as they passed. A group of gray-clothed Ardents had gathered at the back of the courtyard, and the woman from earlier stepped forward to chat with the brothers. Adolin and Renarin both bowed formally to her. It had been 3 weeks now since Renarin had been given his plate. Why had Adolin waited so long to bring him here for training? Had he been waiting until the duel, so he could win the lad a blade, too? Syl landed on Kaladin's shoulder.
Adolin and Renarin are both bowing to her.
Yeah, Kaladin said.
But isn't the Ardent a slave? One their father owns?
Kaladin nodded.
Humans don't make sense.
If you're only now learning that, Kaladin said, then you haven't been paying attention. Syl tossed her hair, which moved realistically. The gesture itself was very human. Perhaps she'd been paying attention after all.
I don't like them, she said airily. Either one, Adolin or Renarin.
You don't like anyone who carries shards.
Exactly.
You called the blades abominations before, Kaladin said. But the Radiants carried them. So were the Radiants wrong to do so?
Of course not, she said,
sounding like he was saying something completely stupid.
The shards weren't abominations back then.
What changed?
The knights, Syl said, growing quiet. The knights changed.
So it's not that the weapons are abominations specifically, Kaladin said. It's that the wrong people are carrying them.
There are no right people anymore, Syl whispered. Maybe there never were.
And where did they come from in the first place? Kaladin asked. Shard blades, shard plate. Even modern fabrials are nowhere near as good. So where did the ancients get weapons so amazing? Syl fell silent. She had a frustrating habit of doing that when his questions got too specific.
Well, he prompted.
I wish I could tell you.
Then do.
I wish it worked that way. It doesn't.
Kaladin sighed, turning his attention back to Adolin and Renarin, where it was supposed to be. The senior Ardent had led them to the very back of the courtyard, where another group of people sat on the ground. They were Ardents too, but something was different about them. Teachers of some sort? As Adolin spoke to them, Kaladin did another quick scan around the courtyard, then frowned.
Kaladin?
Syl asked.
Man in the shadows over there,
Kaladin said, gesturing with his spear toward a place under the eaves. A man stood there, leaning cross-armed against a waist-high wooden railing. He's watching the princelings.
So is everyone else.
He's different, Kaladin said. Come on. Kaladin wandered over casually, unthreatening. The man was probably just a servant. Long-haired, with a short but scruffy black beard, he wore loose tan clothing tied with ropes. He looked out of place in the sparring yard, and that itself was probably enough to indicate he wasn't an assassin. The best assassins never stood out. Still, the man had a robust build and a scar on his cheek, so he'd seen fighting. Best to check on him. The man watched Renarin and Adolin intently, and from this angle, Kaladin couldn't see if his eyes were light or dark. As Kaladin got close, his foot audibly scraped the sand. The man spun immediately, and Kaladin leveled his spear by instinct. He could see the man's eyes now. They were brown. But Kaladin had trouble placing his age. Those eyes seemed old somehow, but the man's skin didn't seem wrinkled enough to match them. He could have been 35, or he could have been 70. Too young, Kaladin thought, though he couldn't say why. Kaladin lowered his spear. Sorry, I'm a little jumpy. First few weeks on the job. He tried to say it disarmingly. It didn't work. The man looked him up and down, still showing the chained menace of a warrior deciding whether or not to strike. Finally, he turned away from Kaladin and relaxed, watching Adolin and Renarin. Who are you? Kaladin asked, stepping up beside the man. I'm new, as I said. I'm trying to learn everyone's names.
You're the bridge man, the one who saved the High Prince.
I am, Kaladin said.
You don't need to keep prying, the man said. I'm not gonna hurt your damnation, Prince.
He had a low, grinding voice. Scratchy. Strange accent, too. He's not my prince, Kaladin said. Just my responsibility. He looked the man over again, noticing something. The light clothing, tied with ropes, was very similar to what some of the Ardents were wearing. The full head of hair had thrown Kaladin off. You're a soldier, Kaladin guessed. Ex-soldier, I mean.
Yeah, the man said. They call me Zyle.
Kaladin nodded, the irregularities clicking into place. Occasionally a soldier retired to the Ardentia, if he had no other life to return to. Kaladin would have expected them to require the man to at least shave his head. I wonder if Hav is in one of these monasteries somewhere, Kaladin thought idly. What would he think of me now? He'd probably be proud. He always had seen guard duty as the most respectable of a soldier's assignments. What are they doing? Kaladin asked Zyle, nodding toward Renarin and Adolin, who, despite the encumbrance of their shard plate, had seated themselves on the ground before the elder Ardens. Zyle grunted.
A younger Colin has to be chosen by a master for training.
Can't they just pick whichever one they want?
Doesn't work that way. It's kind of an awkward situation, though. Prince Renarin, he's never practiced much with a sword.
Zyle paused.
Being chosen by a master is a step that most light-eyed boys of suitable rank take by the time they're 10.
Kaladin frowned. Why didn't he ever train?
Health problems of some sort.
And they'd really turn him down? Kaladin asked. The High Prince's own son?
They could, but they probably won't. Not brave enough.
The man narrowed his eyes as Adolin stood up and gestured.
Damnation. I knew it was suspicious that he waited for this until I got back.
Swordmaster Zyle, Adolin called. You weren't sitting with the others.
Zyle sighed, then gave Kaladin a resigned glance.
I'm probably not brave enough either. I'll try not to hurt him too much.
He walked around the railing and jogged over. Adolin clasped Zyle's hand eagerly, then pointed to Renarin. Zyle looked distinctly out of place among the other Ardents with their bald heads, neatly trimmed beards, and cleaner clothing.
"Huh,"
Kaladin said.
"Did he seem odd to you?"
"You all seem odd to me," Syl said lightly. "Everyone but Rock, who is a complete gentleman."
"He thinks you're a god. You shouldn't encourage him."
"Why not? I am a god."
He turned his head, looking at her flatly as she sat on his shoulder. "Syl."
"What? I am."
She grinned and held up her fingers as if pinching something very small.
"A little piece of one? Very, very little. You have permission to bow to me now?"
"Kind of hard to do that when you're sitting on my shoulder," he mumbled. He noticed Lopun and Shen arriving at the gate, likely bearing the daily reports from Teft. "Come on, let's see if Teft has anything he needs from me. Then we'll do a circuit and check Andrei and Moash."